been looking at the seven things that God hates. First one, a proud look. Second one, lying tongue. Third, hands that shed innocent blood. The fourth, which is the central thing out of which all these others emanate, a heart that devises wicked imaginations or devices. Fifth one we looked at last week, feet that are swift to run to mischief. Tonight I want to look at a false witness that speaks lies. Right at the outset, we're hit with an interpretational problem. Isn't that basically the same as a lying tongue? In fact, what's interesting, in the Hebrew text, the word lying and the word false are the exact same word. It seems like they're the same thing, but yet they're put in here as distinct things. What makes them distinct? Well, the first one, a lying tongue. A person who utters a lie may or may not do any damage by stating it. For example, if I said to you tonight, you don't know this, but today is really Wednesday. Well, that's a lie. And you would say, that guy's nuts, and you would go about your business, and it wouldn't hurt you a bit. If, however, I spoke of someone here tonight in a false way to someone else in here, that would create a problem, whether what I said was true or not, whether you understood it as true or not. That's the difference. The false witness always causes harm. The lie may not necessarily, because it won't be received. So, why does God hate this? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Why do we bear false witness against others? That's going to reveal our heart. And remember, out of the heart, all these things are emanating. I'll give you a couple of reasons. Number one, out of ignorance or laziness. We hear something from somewhere else or somebody else, and without checking to see if it's true, we repeat it. We're too lazy to check it out. Oh, so-and-so said this. It was on the news. Well, there you go. It was on the internet. I read this in a book. So-and-so told me this. Well, certainly they couldn't have told you a lie, could they? Maybe they did. Maybe they heard it from somewhere else. And we don't check to see the accuracy of the thing, and we pass it on. Secondly, let me go back just a second. What is truth? Truth is not what we think is true, but what we know is true. Well, I think this might be true, so therefore it has to be. No. I've searched this. I've investigated this, and I found this consistent with reality. Therefore, it's true. Secondly, out of pride. Not wanting another to be better than what we think we are. How? Remember the first one, a proud look out of a heart that's not right. How do I make myself out to be more than what I really am? Well, I can't. If I stand up here and brag and boast about myself, you're going to say, I don't want to listen to this. But if I start demeaning another person, now I'm putting myself above them. I can't lift myself up, but if I can lift everybody else, push everybody else down, now I'm better than everybody. Pride is a problem. Thirdly, out of greed. Not wanting another to get more than what we have or feel that we should have. Since I brought up sports a little bit earlier, when contract negotiations come up, players want to get as much money as they possibly can. Not that that's necessarily wrong. but they're always comparing themselves to other people. Well, so-and-so's getting that. I deserve more. Even though my stats aren't quite as good as their stats. Well, he hits more home runs than I do, but I get on base more than he does. He's not as good as a fielder. And you start making up all these other things to push people down because you want the money. All emanating out of a heart that devises wicked imaginations. And consequently, we're prone to accusing others of things that aren't true. How do we do it? Three different ways. Number one, by slandering. That's the most common. It's just making a false accusation. You make up something, you say this person does this or is that, and it's just not true. Therefore, they're put down. By questioning one's integrity. Interesting how questions can be used to bear false witness. I'll give you a biblical example. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" That's a statement of fact. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Now, he didn't make a statement. He didn't say anything. He asked the question. But what's implied in the question? Well, he's only that way because really, when you get down to his motivations, he's in it for the money. Or he's in it for something else. And therefore, he's not really as good as what you say that he is. We can do it that way. Or we can do it by secret suggestion. What do I mean by that? This is the Christian way of bearing false witness. Hey, I heard about so-and-so, and I think we need to pray about this. Well, could go through a prayer chain, but usually it's done on a one-on-one basis. I'm just telling you this to pray about it. No, you're telling that because you want to put the other person down. That's slander. Go the opposite direction. By flattering, to exaggerate the goodness of another to obtain favor. And then by remaining silent, giving the impression that a lie is true. For example, in Ezekiel 33, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, now this is God talking, thou shalt surely die. God's talking, it's true. Thou do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Because I said so. But his blood will I require at thy hand if you don't say anything. You're withholding truth. You're not countering things. And by remaining silent, you're just allowing the lie to go on. So what? What difference does it make? What's the big hassle? Why does God get so upset about a false witness? It perverts justice. God is a God of justice. Scripture is very clear in Psalm 89, verse 14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." Whatever God does justly. Whenever he judges correctly. Genesis chapter 18, Abraham in his prayer says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And he does. That's how God operates. To pervert justice is to slander the reputation of God, especially by a Christian. God's will for man is for us to act in a just manner. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He that hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. We go into a court. I don't know if they still do this. I have never been in a court situation where I've observed it other than on Judge Judy and TV. And that doesn't count. But it used to be you put your hand on the Bible and you swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I don't know, do they do that anymore? Who's been in court? Anyone? Not on the Bible anymore. And we can't do that because... But nonetheless, we take the legal proceedings seriously because we're judging the fate of a person. And God does that. We should as well. False witness assassinates character. God is the giver of life. God made us who we are. God's will for man is to edify one another. Romans chapter 14, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And of course, false witnesses make for peace, right? Lies make for peace. And the things wherewith one may edify build up another. God's will is that we build each other up, not tear each other down. Truth builds up. Lies tear down. False witness steals blessings. By the by, the second one, assassinates character. Can you think of maybe a commandment in Exodus chapter 20 that might deal with something along these lines? Thou shalt not... Well, that's in there, but I'm talking about specifically assassinating character. Thou shalt not kill. It pertains to the body, but it also pertains to character. Reputations. Thou shalt not steal. Well, we can steal another's blessings because remember, the motivation is they're getting something that I want, that I deserve, because after all, I'm way up here and they're way down there. All blessings ultimately come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We owe everything to Him. To God be the glory. I want what God's giving somebody else. He made a mistake. No. God's will for you and I is to be a blessing to others. 1 Peter 3, 8, 9, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. When we speak incorrectly about another person, just going against what God's seeking for us to do. And finally, a false witness stifles love. Of all the commandments, what's the greatest? Okay. What's the second? What's common to both? Love. Both of them require love. Why? Because God is a God of love. 1 John 4:8. Simple as that. And God's will for man is for us to love one another. If God so loved us, which He has, we ought to also love one another to the same degree. Bearing false witness is not an act of love. It's as simple as that. Anytime we bear false witness against another person, we're going completely against the will of God in various ways. Augustine of Hippo. Anyone know where Hippo is?
Carthage. Carthage?
It's northern Africa.
Northern Africa.
Yeah. Out closer to Spain, that direction. Brilliant guy, really was. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose and it will defend itself. That's true. Augustine or Augustine, depending on which syllable you put the accent. Brilliant man, I think he got it right. There's a problem, though, with it. How many times have you heard it said, well, in the end, truth will manifest itself? And it will. But what about the time between now and the end when the lie persists? That can cause a whole lot of damage. That maybe the truth can never recover. I make a statement about Greg here. Now, I couldn't do it because it's perfect in character, right? But I say something to Jeff about Greg and really knocks him down. And Greg accepts him, and because of that, he's never going to sit behind him anymore. He's going to move over on this side because he just can't stand to be in his presence. By the way, next Sunday, we get the last, and that is he that sows discord among the brethren. Find it interesting that we'll be all gathered together downstairs for fellowship, and that worked out that way. But what happens? Well, we've separated the two because of a lie. And the communication, the opportunity for them to edify each other has been lost for a time. And sometimes you just can't recover that. God is a little bit more direct. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall perish. That puts the onus on us to speak the truth to a greater degree. How in the world do we do that? What keeps this thing from uttering lies? I'm pretty sure you recognize this verse from Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. Allow me, if you will, tonight to take a little liberty with the scriptures and change one word. Now, I know you shouldn't change one word, but allow me to do so. The word, think on these things, speak these things. As we think about them, they should be the things then that come out of our mouths, right? Before we exercise the mouth, let's make sure the brain has been engaged. Okay? What I am going to say, is it true? Have I investigated it to know that the source that I ascertained this fact is telling me reality? Is it honest? Is it going to be something that will be pure, that will be edifying? Is it something that will encourage and adorn the life of a believer? Will it be a good report? Now, there are times when you will have to say truthfully, as Nathan did to David, thou art the man. You have sin that needs to be taken care of. That wasn't a good report. Part that it was within the will of God. Virtuous, praiseworthy, in the end, will it bring praise to God? If we've gone through all those things and thought on those things and analyzed the words that we're going to say, I guarantee you, you will not be uttering false witnesses, guaranteed. What comes out of these lips, across this tongue, better be backed up by what's taking place up here. Oftentimes, this moves before this has ever gotten into gear. Let's make sure it doesn't happen. Let's pray. Father, a short message, but a very important one. We're living in a day and age where information can be disseminated literally around the world within seconds. It seems like sometimes lies travel at the speed of light, and truth lags behind. Lord, may it not be because of what we have said. May we be careful in our speech, because our words have the ability to rob and steal, to assassinate, to discourage, and bring disgrace upon the name of God. Lord, we pray that we might be, first of all, pure in our thoughts, and that then the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be found acceptable in your sight, pleasing to you, edifying to one another, bringing glory to Jesus Christ. We pray in his name.